at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of His mercy and love. At the feet of Jesus, we cry. Aren't you glad you've got a lamb tonight? Isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord? We had a great time here over the weekend, didn't we? The word of the Lord just gets better all the time. Brother West, it's just camp meeting every time you come around here. Praise the Lord. Aren't you just glad to be part of it? Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Let's sing that one more time. Brethren, play some more of it if you will. Play it like you believe it. Sing that one more time with everything you got. somebody say praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see you tonight. It's good to be seen, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I trust you've come tonight to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We are such a privileged group of people to get to come to a place that believes the Word of God and believes the Spirit that goes with it. I like every bit of it, don't you? Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes. Brother Wes, if you'd get ready to pray tonight over these requests. Brother Baker sends in this card of thanks. Says, I want to just thank everybody for the cards, the prayers, the phone calls, also for the money that you contributed while I was sick. I sure do appreciate my church family. Please keep me in your prayers for a complete recovery. Your brother, Brother Baker. Oh, Brother Baker, I want to tell you something. We like you pretty good too, buddy. We like the Baker family, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Just, that's some good folks. It really is. Let me make this announcement. There'll be a trustee meeting tonight after the service in the men's nursery. So remember that trustee meeting tonight after service. Please pray for Brother Eugene and Sister Janet Kennedy. Both are sick. Need a touch from the Lord tonight, so we want to pray for their healing. Just a lot of flu and colds and viruses and stuff going around. Let's just pray for all those that are suffering from that tonight. Please pray for Brother Pinky Phillips. He's having problems with diverticulitis, so we certainly want to pray for him tonight. The Lord would be mindful of him. Also, Sister Laura Krause, having a hard time regulating her blood pressure, asking that we would pray for her tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests by the raising of your hand, we know we're serving a prayer-answering God, don't we? Amen. Want to pray for our pastor and his Sister Reagan. They're in Arizona. Brother Darrell, Sister Cheryl, out there in Arizona in the meetings. Let's just pray that the Lord would just, well, he'd just bless them real good. I believe they'll have some great times. And I believe those services are, Brother Jimmy can confirm that, but I believe that is set up you'll be able to stream those services. I believe that's right. If you just go to now I'm going to correct myself if I'm wrong. And I usually don't make mistakes, but I will correct myself if I'm wrong, Brother Rob. I think that is on our church website. You just go to that and you'll pick up that link. And is that right, Brother Brad? Am I telling the truth so far? You don't have a clue, do you? Okay. All right. If that's, you have handouts in the library. So, oh, good, Brother Keith. I didn't even see you sitting there. But that's good. That is good. So you'll be able to live stream those services. And I know it'll be a tremendous blessing to you. We're going to have church here tonight. Brother Terry Horn has studied. He's prayed. The Lord's given him a message for us tonight. And I believe we're going to leave here a lot better off than when we got here, don't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love him. Amen. Could you stand with me, Brother Wes, if you'd come? You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Certainly want to keep the Ward family in our prayers, our thoughts, that the Lord would just comfort their hearts, the Yonts families. Just a lot of us that have suffered the loss of loved ones. And well, we just pray that the Lord would just bind his arms around you and keep you in his love. He's able to do that, isn't he? Amen. Brother West, we kind of like you too, buddy. God bless you, man. We appreciate you, buddy.
Let's bow our heads. Father, when we sing a song like this where we talk about the day, we'll finally throw our crowns down at your feet. I can't help but, I know we're supposed to cast down imaginations, but Lord, I can't help but imagine what that's going to be like, how wonderful that's going to be. Lord, my imagination doesn't stretch that far, but it must be so wonderful. I can't wait for that day, Lord. We're looking for it to come quickly. Lord, we long for it so much. We get pieces and bits and revelation here and revelation there, Lord, but to be in your presence once and for all eternity, Lord. We long for it so much. We look forward to it so much. Lord, we know until then we have your presence living in us and among us, Lord, as the church body, as the bride on the earth today. Lord, we thank you so much for giving us this way of coming to you and bowing before you in prayer and lifting these needs up to you, Lord, these different needs. Father, we place them at your feet, trusting that you're going to take care of them, Lord. We trust you in all things, not just our precious Savior, but our Lord, our Sovereign, our God. Oh, Lord, it's sometimes when our heart just gets so full, Lord, for our love towards you that we just don't know what to say. Lord, I know Brother Terry's prepared. I know that you're going to come out here tonight, Lord, and you're going to speak through that man's lips. Lord, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're pulling on with all of our hearts, is to hear your voice, Lord. We know, Lord, that as you're preaching through our brother, Lord, as you're speaking to us through our brother, Lord, these requests are not going to be forgotten. We know that the Kennedys are going to feel better. We know that Brother Pinky's going to feel better. We know that all these things they're just going to, you're taking them into your control, and we trust you to do that. We know, Lord, that you work through these things. I myself came up for prayer just a couple of weeks ago. Couldn't even lift my arm, Lord, and I'm back 100% because you healed me. Father, we just love you so much because we see the word in action among us. We see your people, Lord, as they're growing in revelation and in strength, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord, as this body comes together and becomes more and more clear, more defined, Lord. As the age gets darker, this bride gets brighter and brighter, Lord. And I just thank you for it. We ask you to bless the rest of this service, Lord, as we worship you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service, we pray it'll be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. Brother Lemuel Yost wrote this song a long, long time ago. And Brother Kenneth and Brother Lemuel, myself, along with people around the world, have sung this song. I believe it's our testimony tonight. All is well. We may not look like all is well, but really all is well.
Amen.
You may not feel like all is well, but all is well.
Amen.
Somebody say, I believe it with all my heart. I'm committed to it with all my heart.
Amen.
Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Yes, all is well. Yes, all is well. have not worked out like God's people thought. For we're here, we're still fighting the greatest battle ever fought, and we're winning by the grace of God. We must have the faith of Abraham, knowing God's word never fails. If we'll trust in Him, you're gonna find all is well. Yes, all is well. All is well. We have heard the message along. All is well. There is a place, a perfect rest behind the inner veil. So rest, little bride, rest for all is well. Amen. I believe that, don't you? Let's sing just a little bit of this song tonight. Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. We've been having some kind of strange weather. A lot of this and a lot of that. Hope for a lot of sunshine pretty soon, don't you? But I know one thing, in every storm of life that we go through with, and sometimes they're overwhelming, sometimes they just get you down. But I'm going to tell you something. When you think that ain't nobody caring for you, remember this. You got a church family that loves you. You got a pastor that cares about your soul and loves you. Most of all, you've got a heavenly Father that loves you better than everything in this world. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I know that Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong. I said that Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world are blowing strong. You see, Jesus is the fence around His children. His grace is sufficient to stand the storms of life. And His word is a promise that we can lean on when the winds of this world are blowing strong. Sing it now. I know that Jesus is with me with the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world blowing strong. Play a little bit of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see, Satan is a roaming to and fro throughout the land. He's seeking whom he can devour. Oh, but he that's in you is so much greater than he is. When we rebuke him, we make him out of a lie. I know my Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble, when the winds this world blow is strong. Play a little bit more of it. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord forevermore. Somebody say hallelujah.
to tremble when the winds of this world is blowing strong. I know my Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble when the winds of this world is blowing strong. I know my Jesus is with me when the storm clouds gather. He's standing by my side when I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble when the winds of this world blowing strong. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe it with all my heart. How about you? Brother Justin, come tonight and give us a song. Brother Justin Reagan has a song for us tonight. Brother Fred Perry, we'll try to get you in over the weekend. Maybe the Lord will, if that works out. But let's sing this a little bit more of this tonight as Brother Justin comes to sing. We love this guy right here too, don't we? Amen. I know my Jesus is with me. When the storm clouds gather, he's standing by my side. When I hear the thunder roll, he holds my hand. When I begin to tremble, when the winds of this world is blowing strong, Jesus is with me. Jesus is with me. I know he's with me. Jesus is with me. Oh, Jesus is with me. I'm glad he's with me. I know he's with me. Do you believe he's with you? Do you believe he's with you? Do you believe he's with you? Oh, do you believe he's with you? When the storm clouds gather, I hear the thunder roll. He holds my hand when I begin to tremble when the winds of this world are blowing strong. Give him a good hand clap of praise.
Amen. Sing it, buddy. Had to leave. Got a real bad vertigo attack. Had to go home, so remember him while we pray tonight.
Y'all forgive me for bringing back an old song, and I'm sure Dad can sing it a whole lot better than I can, but I'll do the best that I can. When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Pray, not my will, but thine for. The answer I'm beginning to know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who? I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave you now. If you'll be true, I'll give to you a life forever. Oh, I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son to fight my battles until they're won. For who am I? Tell me, who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, not my will but Thine for? The answer cross He would go. For who am I? If you know it, help me sing it one more time. Tell me, who am I that the King would bleed and die for? Who am I that He would pray, not my will but Thine for? The answer I may never know, why He ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross He would go. For who
What a question. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? You know, I think we're beginning to really understand a little bit more who we really are. We didn't know that back in the denominational systems. We thought we were okay. We thought we were enlightened. We thought we was under the last message of the hour, you might say, Pentecostal, which it was for that time. But we were still groping in darkness. But aren't you thankful that He came our way? Aren't you so thankful that He opened up our eyes to the understanding? You know, some of you may not know this, but I really like to go to church. I was thinking the other day, you know, Simeon, you know, the Lord promised him. He said, now you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. And I got to thinking about, where did he see the Lord's Christ? In church. In church. In the temple. So, you know, there's just something good about coming to church. Brother Bram said, if Christ is in your heart, you just can't wait to get there. And so, as I've said so many times the last couple of years, to me, the whole thing is, when people really fall in love with Christ, that settles it. I've used the illustration before. You know, when I married my wife, all my high school sweethearts was dead. And when you marry Christ, the world is dead. I mean, go listen to Invisible Union. That's all it is. You know, can't be just divorced and put on the shelf. They're dead. So that's, and when you fall in love with Christ, you don't have any other lover. It's all Christ the Word. Amen. So while you're turning to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14 and chapter 16, I'd like to say this. Thank you, Brother Louis. I've been studying on this for about 4, 5, 6 months, I'd say, this sermon. And I knew that the Lord laid upon my heart to preach it at Happy Valley. And so I've studied it and laid it on the shelf, not knowing exactly, not knowing really when Brother Donnie would ask me to speak again. So it's just really strange that he asked me this Wednesday. So Saturday night, He takes his text out of Deuteronomy and talks about, you know, God's chosen place of worship. For the first 10 minutes. Sunday morning, he takes his text, God's chosen place of worship, then he goes that direction. Guess what? First 10 minutes tonight, we're going to take the same direction, God's chosen place of worship. I mean, for 4 or 5 months, I mean, what's the likelihood of that happening? The same thing, the follow-up. So, all like I said, Brother Donnie, you laid a good foundation for me, so we're going to continue on. But we're going to go a different direction. While you're standing, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2, and then 16, and then down also to the book of Luke. And then I'll let you be seated. Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. You happy to be in church?
Yes.
Love the Lord?
Yes.
Ready to have church?
Yes.
You're already started. The Bible says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Now this, of course, talks to Israel. Israel always types a bride. Deuteronomy 16:2. "Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock of the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God hath given thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt." Now Luke, we want to read a scripture, 3:21. "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape, like a dove, upon him, and the voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee, I am well pleased." Now, I wonder if we can say that verse 22 applies to us. The Holy Ghost wouldn't descend on us in the shape of a dove, but it did in the looks of fire. Is he saying that about us? In thee, I am well pleased, or I am pleased to dwell in. I'm going to say he will. He is, or he will, before we get out of here. Because if we're to be Messiahs, this has got to apply to us.
Amen.
It must.
Yes.
Now, while you're standing, I want to ask you a question first. What's going on right now? Where are we at? You know, in God's time, just before the rapture, people are leaving the message. Why are they leaving the message? They're giving up, they're complaining, falsely accusing the prophet, different things. They're just tired of fighting. Why? I want to ask you, why? Well, there's many excuses, but there's just one reason, and I'm going to tell you the reason. The reason is very simply this. They're not ordained to see it, and they do not have a word birth. Lots of excuses. To me, when they falsely accused a prophet and he did this and he didn't do that, they didn't say that right. To me, that's a cheap way to backslide. They're going to backslide anyway. So just blame somebody else and then just quit. But if you're sealed in, you're going to say amen to every word. And you can't get out if you're sealed in. So they're not ordained. And Jesus said, "All that the Father hath given me will come to me, and I've lost none except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So if you're ordained to be there, you're going to come in somewhere, and you're not going to leave.
Amen.
Amen. So let's pray.
Yes, sir.
Lord Jesus, how thankful we are for your predestinated plan. We're just so happy, Lord, that we begin to have an understanding what you have done for us, what you mean to us, who you are, why we're here, our purpose on earth, why you sent us a messenger, why you sent these things, why you gave us these things. Just so many things, Lord, we're beginning to understand. And yet it'll take all throughout all eternity for you to reveal yourself, how great thou art. I pray that you would bless the reading of the word, anoint your servant to speak, anoint the ears to hear. May we truly enjoy the presence of God. May we be encouraged, being blessed. Say something, Lord. You'll say something that would help us while we're here on this Wednesday night. And we'll be thankful Lord, that we had this opportunity to go to church. We ask these blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Now, the Bible says, the kingdom of God, of course, is within you. And we know that the kingdom being in you, and we know that this is the age, every kingdom is going to be shook. Every kingdom is going to be shook. And so if the kingdom of God is with you, within you, the bride, then where is the kingdom of Satan? It's got to be in them. Now, I want tonight to help us to understand and help to establish the extreme importance of having the token. Ye must be born again. Now, we know that. But you know that even Brother Ben said, like the foolish virgin, they all thought that they was under the blood. They thought that they had the word birth. They thought that they had the Holy Ghost, but they didn't. But you must be under the blood. You must have the Holy Ghost. Has to be. You must have the token. And that is the true experience of God, the token, the little life of Christ. We know what it is. That's when you're truly converted, being born again. And notice what Brother Mamp says in Christ the Mystery, paragraph 102. He says, now God's secret he had before the world. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something that he was trying and was going to achieve, and he had a motive in doing this in order to let himself be expressed. But the only way that you can actually be a Christian, watch this, the only way that you can actually be a Christian is for Christ to identify himself in you. In you. How we got some oil stinger there. I hope everybody on the tape gets that. I hope we all on the tape got that. See, you say, I'm Pentecostal. That don't mean a thing. It's Christ identified in you. In you. That's when he has recognized you. But when it's Christ identified in you, identifying himself, then you are Christ-like, which the word Christian means to be Christ-like. There is your identification. All right, now, and since he is our identification, then we should be identified with him by living for him. Christian means to be Christ-like. And we want to be Christ-like. We want to be living epistles written, known, written of all men. We want to be a walking Bible. Now, there are many things that we have a choice in life on, but there are some things we have no choice on. God chose his bride from the foundation of the world. He chose his messengers. He didn't ask us. He knew exactly what he was doing. He chose what age they would come in. He chose what age you would come in here. He chose the where the greatest battleground would be was in the mind. God chose all these things. We didn't have anything to do with it. And we're glad for that because we always mess it up. God chose his chosen places of worship. He did the choosing. Amen. He chose that, and he chose where he would place his name. Notice also, God provided place in paragraph 46. Notice the second verse, worship, in the place that I have chosen. Chosen what? In this place shows that he has a place where all people worship. Other places are in vain. And in this same place, he said, I have chosen also to put my name in this place. I'll choose the place, and I'll put my name in it, and this place, and in this place that he's going to worship. Now, his name is his character, so he's going to put his character in this place of worship. That eliminates all the denomination, because his name is his character. Now, this shows that there's one place, just one. It must be God's choosing. It can't be ours. We have no choice coming. He's already chosen. Now, what God chooses is right. I can choose wrong, you can choose wrong, but God cannot. God cannot choose right. After all, he's the one that's being worshiped, and he's got the place where he wants his worshipers to meet there. Amen. He's got a chosen place we're going to meet. Right. Meet there, and we must meet him there. Amen. God's got a chosen place to meet. Amen. We've got to meet him at that meeting place. I remember when I first met my wife. When I asked her out the first time, I asked her out on a date. We had met at Langley Air Force Base, and I said, now, would you go out with me? And they said, well, we'll talk about it. So we were supposed to go to finance to pick up our money, and said, well, we'll talk about it at finance. So I said, I'll meet you at finance at 4 o'clock. So I'm there at 4 o'clock, no Alice, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, whatever. Then I thought, Well, that was our meeting place there. I was there, she wasn't there. Come find out later, she got her money and left town. But I want you to assure you, God don't take His money and leave town. If He chose to meet you, and if He promised to meet you, He's going to meet you there. God's chosen place of worship. He will meet you in that meeting place. But I did meet her up a couple of weeks later, and of course we did get married. What happened was that she was had a couple of days off, so she wanted to go home, so she got her money and went home. God's chosen place of worship. He will always meet you there. Amen. And He has a place. Amen. Now I want to title my thought tonight, I'll meet you in there. I'll meet you in there. That's what we want to talk about tonight. Now he says also in paragraph 51, to meet you there, we must meet Him there. That's the only place that He stays. And He stays there. He don't leave, He stays there. Only place He, and He'll hear from you. 51. This bringing us now in view of the shadow and time brings us Christ in view. All the Old Testament foreshadowed Jesus. In Egypt that night when they were to be a Passover lamb killed for the protection of the people, we realized that God had one place, one condition. No matter how young, how old, a priest, a clergy, whatever you are, you must be in this certain place. All outside that place perish. You must be in this one place, the place He has provided. Now it's like Eden. God chose a place. He chose Eden, east of the Garden of Eden, east of Eden. And Eden was not only a place, but Eden, of course, it was a condition. And we know that before the fall, Eden was a perfect place, and it was also was a perfect condition. And after Adam and Eve sinned, and we won't go through all that, we know the story, we find God saying, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Now, we know that God knew where Adam was, but He wasn't really saying, Adam, where are you? He knew where he was, but He was saying, Adam, what is your condition now? It's just like when He asked Jacob, Jacob, what is your name? He knew what Jacob's name was. He wanted Jacob to state and declare himself what his name was. Is it Jacob or is it Israel? Elijah, he asked Elijah, he said, what thou doest, Elijah? What are you doing, Elijah? He knew what Elijah's doing. He's sitting under the juniper tree, but he wanted Elijah to declare what he was doing. Amen. So he knew where Adam was, but it's a condition. And we got to get in the right condition. Amen. So what is your condition now? So God made him leave that original place. The place and the condition, of course, tie together. So God's chosen place is to meet a worshiper in the place where He has chosen. And God has put His name there. And as I said, His name is His character. And His character is flawless. And God won't place His name in a denomination, a honky-tonk, or any place else. God will place His name where the Word is made manifest for the hour. We know that. We're thankful for that. The perfect Word has come, and that's where God's wholeness and His truth is. So in the Garden of Eden before the fall, God told Adam and Eve, in that garden, as long as you obey, I'll meet you in there. Now, Satan just couldn't stand God having an Eden and Satan not having Eden. So since Satan can't create, he just took God's world and God's paradise and God's earth and he just perverted it. Now Satan has his own Eden. And that's where you and me live. In Satan's Eden. He's got his own Eden. Can you imagine, even Isaiah 14, Brother Ram talks about, he go back to scripture in Isaiah, I will exalt myself. He said he's fulfill that to the letter. Satan has. Okay. Now let's go from the Eden down to mankind. Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 237. Now the first throne was in heaven, the judgment seat. The second throne was in Christ. The third throne is in man. Third throne, God chose the heart of man. That's where He wants to be. Question and answer is 378. In the Garden of Eden, the devil took the man's head. God took his heart. Amen. And that's the throne of God, where God dwells in the human heart. Amen. Now, we know that, but I want you to really focus that God dwells in the human heart. And now, if it's intellectually sure that a man or woman that's born again will act like the kingdom they're from. Whatever kingdom you're born from, that's the kingdom you're going to be representing. If we're born from above, we'll represent that. If we're not born from above, we're going to represent the kingdom of our first earthly, fleshly nature. So we'll act like that. And I'm glad when we're truly born of God and born of the Spirit of God, we have the nature of God and we start to think like God. We live like God. We act like God. But to be a Christian is to be Christ-like. You know, don't miss now, it's in the human heart, in the human heart. Now, Brother Donnie, I think at the funeral, he made this tremendous statement. He said, God didn't come to save us from our humanity. He come to save us from our sins. That's a tremendous statement. Because this humanity, this see, taste, feel, smell, hear on the spirit realm, conscious, reason, imagination, memory, affection, we can't get rid of that. We can't get away from that. We don't even contact our, that's all we have to contact our earthly home. But we have one thing to contact God. That's the gene in our heart. That's the soul. That's the free will. That's all we have. The other 10 are against us. We have one for us and the other's against us. Well, God chose that. And God chose to be inside. He wanted to be inside of us. He wanted to dwell in this humanity. So the devil, he takes the outside. God takes the inside. You have ten avenues against us. God's got that one avenue in our soul. Devil chose beauty, the outside. God chose character, the inside. Man's choice was Saul. Great statue. Outer appearance. God's choice was David. Character. Wasn't much to look at, but he really had character. Man's choice was Saul, God's was David. Man's choice was Matthias. Brother Bam said, Matthias, after Judas left Messiah, said Matthias never did anything. But he said God's choice was Paul. That was God's choice. Matthias by lot, but that was man's choice. So God's emphasis is always, I'll meet you in there. In there. Unveiling of God, paragraph 329. The Shekinah glory, manifests Him. It brings forth the word of promise right out of you, right out to you. That's the reason that he had the veil on Moses' face. Because in him was the word. He veiled Jesus as a humble little man to keep them from seeing Jehovah. And he veils himself today in earthen vessels. The same today with the Shekinah. If you're born to the Spirit of God, every one of you that's in the building, not born to the Spirit of God, you veil that Shekinah right inside of you. Right in that soul. Not in the flesh. That's humanity in that soul. The outside looks like a bunch of hole rollers, old badger skins, but the inside hides the Shekinah glory of God. So it's always the inside. The inside holds the secret. God is on the inside. The devil takes the outside. Now, secrets. Let's talk about secrets just a minute. One of the many things we've learned in this message, God doesn't broadcast all these secrets to the world. In fact, He hides. He said, I hide it from the wise and the prudent, but reveal the babes such as will learn. God hides Himself in simplicity, and we know the bride, our lives are hidden in Christ, and He feeds us the hidden manna. Just going through some of these things, God was hidden in Christ, and the Pharisees missed Him. Even the seventh seal, when it was opened, a half hour silence, nobody moved lest the secret be given away. So we talk about secrecy. Why all the secrecy? I'm telling you, God said, I'll meet you in there. There's got to be a secret place for God to meet because He don't want the devil no part of it. Now, everything I want to say now from this point on, I want to focus on this scripture. And I want, if you put St. John 14:20 up there, I want to look at this scripture. This scripture, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. We read that and say, well, that's wonderful. What a promise. But let's break this down. Let's dissect this real quickly. At that day, now Brother Branham said, that day is this day. So just get that in your mind. That day is this day. At that day ye shall know. When I looked this up this morning, I looked this word know, I just about had a shout and fit. First of all, shall is the most positive word in the Bible. Jesus is saying, at that day, ye shall know. No option, no maybe, you shall know it. You don't have an option about it. You shall know it. And it comes, that word know comes from the Greek word genosko. It means to perceive and to understand. But you gotta look at it from the Jewish side, from the way the Jews looked at it. And it says to a Jew, the true knowledge always manifests itself in one's conduct. Ye shall know, so that means if you know that, then you're gonna conduct yourself appropriately. One did not know something until that fact had a practical outworking in his life. So ye shall know. Not only you're going to know it here, but you're going to know it by manifestation of your life. And it's going to have a practical outworking in your life. So he promises, ye shall know. Not just have an intellectual understanding, not just perceive, or not just to understand here, but you're going to have a manifestation of knowing. So this is what Jesus said. It's a prophecy. Ye shall know that I am in my Father. So Jesus is one with the Father. And ye and me. Ye and me. So that means we are going to have oneness with Jesus. And then I and you. And then Jesus is going to have oneness with us. So that's what he's saying, that this oneness and this likeness and this, it's more than just a similarity. We're going to be one. It's a real oneness. He promises you are going to be one with the Father. How can you be anything else if we are designated to be Messiahs? So look at this scripture. Now, in light of that scripture, let's just keep that in mind as we go on. Look what he says in, show us the Father. Paragraph 85. Now, what you have to do with the tree, when you take the tree and you plant it in the ground and then you have to water it, and you water it and it doesn't do nothing but drink. I'm going to try to hurry through this, save time. And to drink more of its portion. And the more it drinks, the bigger it swells up. It just pushes out limbs. Then it pushes out leaves. And it pushes out blossoms. It pushes out apples. Is that right? And that's the way a Christian is. We are planted together in Christ, who is the inexhaustible fountain of life. We are planted in Christ, and we just drink and drink and drink and push out. And everything we have need of for the earthly journey, divine healing, the power of God, all these other things is in every individual in here that's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen to that. For you are planted in Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost baptism, yes sir. And everything you have need of for this life's journey, even the rapture, is right in you then. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even the rapture. Even the rapture is in you right then. You've got the genuine Holy Ghost, the Word born. You pass from death to life. You're truly converted. The rapture's in you right now. Amen. It's in you. Amen. Just like the little apple seed, every tree that little seed will ever bring forth is in that apple. It's in potential form, but it's there. Amen. Just like you said about the 25 cents in the loaf of bread. I'd be just as happy with the 25 cents as a loaf of bread because I got the purchase price. It's good. I've got it. It's mine. Amen. So it's there. Those eight words right there is so tremendous. It's such a, the rapture is in you right then. Amen. So that means it's in us right now. Amen. Then how are we going to miss it? The only thing we got to make sure is, are we truly born again? Are we truly birthed into the kingdom? Now, let's look at this secrecy just a minute as we try to hurry. God's plan all along. The first two boys, God gave the secret, the revelation to Abel. Can't do nothing about it. In heaven, Satan probably wanted to peek into God's little book. Brother Donnie kind of illustrated the other day. I just thought about that, you know. You know, he's kind of just talking to Satan, you know, and kind of just laying out some of his things. And so, of course, you know, Lucifer, he knew the approach to God and so forth. And God's looking at his little book, you know, and old Satan, Lucifer, he just kind of gets up close and, oh, no. No. This is Lucifer, this is my family album. You know, all my kids' pictures are in here. And I don't want you to see any of them, you know. You know, this is mine. You know. My little book, this is the little book, you know. And I all got all my kids' pictures, but, you know, that's not for see. You know, I'll give you what you have need of, but this is for me. Satan wanted to look into it, but God wouldn't let him. Had to be a secret. You know, there's some things that God just don't let out. Just real precious to him. Just real important. You know what I mean? Oh, I just love it. Amen. God's very particular about where he meets the place. Even in the wilderness, the high priest once a year, they had to go behind badger skins, enclosed there behind those skins, hid from the public. Only the high priest once a year could go in there, and God said, I'll meet you in there. The Shekinah glory, I'll meet you in there. But the high priest, you know, to go in there, they had to be dressed right. They had the right clothes. They had to dress a certain way. They had to have a pomegranate in the bell. And they had to walk in there holy, holy, holy unto the Lord. They had to be anointed. They had to be perfumed and so forth. They had to approach that holy of holies correctly. They had to be dressed right. And Brother Ben said, my ministry and my purpose on this earth is dress the bride with the Word of God. So, brother, if we're kings and priests, I believe we are being dressed to go into that Holy of Holies. I believe that. He's dressing us right now. That's every time we come to church, we get another little portion of that garment placed on us. Amen. The mercy seat was hidden from the public on the ark of the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could see that pillar of fire. But that day on Calvary, when God sent that great lightning bolt down there and ripped that veil in half, now the mercy seat is in plain view. God said, I'm going to let everybody see it. But you know what? They're too blind to see it. There he was hanging up on Calvary. He ripped the veil so they could look out there and see Christ on that cross at Calvary, but they was too blind. They just sewed the veil right up and kept it on with the animal sacrifice. And from that time, that was the last time God ever accepted an animal sacrifice. Because that paschal lamb had become the sacrificial lamb. And God changed dispensation and says, no more! No more! No more blood of goats and bulls and all like that. Now it's Christ is the Lamb of God. I'm going to meet you in there. If you'll just look on Calvary, that's where I'm going to meet you. I will meet you in there. You know, when they had the Feast of the Tabernacles, you know, and I just love that we're on the Feast of the Tabernacles. And you know, they make such a big to-do about all these feasts that they have to down. Moses, you know, gave the feast, and they've been celebrating these feasts every year, the sixth feast, the seventh feast, and the Feast of Harvest and Tabernacles and so forth. But you know, during Jesus' time, when they would go up to Jerusalem and celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles, and they'd go and there in Jerusalem, and they would make this great big old celebration, and they would light all those big candelabras, you know, with oil, and it would just be a big light festival. And of course, what that was is to celebrate the pillar of fire, the light that led them through the wilderness and everything. And they had this great festival during that time, and Jesus walks out, and he says, I am the light of the world. Moses said, we believe a Messiah is going to come. And they read the law. We believe a Messiah is going to come. Jesus said, look, if you could just wake up, I'm that Messiah in so many words. I am the bread of life. I am the water. I am the light. I am what's in that candelabra. Amen. I am that pillar of fire. And if you could just see what you're seeing, but you're too blind. What's he trying to say? I'll meet you in there. But they kept looking and kept looking, but they just couldn't see. He said, I am that living water. I am the bread that come down from heaven. All these wonderful things. Now, the reason for this secrecy, God has a reason for being on the inside. God has a reason for himself to be veiled. He has a reason to hide himself from the wise. Although God is light, he still hides himself or veils himself from the wise and prudent. Now, Satan is sharp, but he's not that sharp. So God hid himself in Christ, that even Satan missed him, that he was the Messiah, and even killed him. You know, you think if Satan knew that Jesus Christ was Messiah, and knew that through his death, burial, and resurrection, he would save all humanity, you think Satan would have killed him? No way. But he was blind, he couldn't see it. God pulled one right over, did he? Now, the seventh seal, why all the secrecy in the seventh seal? What was the half hour of silence? Why didn't Jesus mention anything about the seventh seal in Matthew 24? He mentioned all the first six seals, but nothing about the seventh. We'll read, of course, in Revelation 8:1. Why did that angel tell Brother Branham that this is the third pull and you won't tell nobody about it? Why the secrecy? In the seventh seal, here's why. Here's the seventh seal, Brother Branham says in paragraph 558. Now, if you want something to happen, now you have to take my word for this. If I'm planning on doing something, I know better than tell anybody about it. Now that person will tell it, but Satan will hear it. Listen to me. Satan will hear it. See? He can't get into my heart. That's where God resides, is in my heart. In my heart, that's where God resides. God has a reason for saying, I'll meet you in there. That's where God's house is. And Satan can't get into the human heart if it's sealed in. Remember, when we're born in this, on this earth, we come to this earth speaking lies and full of hypocrisy. We're born with a snake nature, but we have to have a new birth. And that new birth changes that nature altogether. He can't get into my heart there as long as God's got it closed up with the Holy Spirit. So it's between me and God, see? He don't know nothing about it until you speak it. That's why it's so important. You know, by our confession, you're either justified or condemned by the words that you speak. You know, even Brother Matt made a statement one time. He said, if you're a Christian and you walk and said, I'm not a Christian anymore, he said, you're not a Christian anymore. I mean, you really believe that. By the confession of your mouth, you're either justified or condemned. So that's why he says, and why people are so tossed about, he said, Christians are always positive. Never negative, always positive. They don't have negative thoughts. They don't have negative ideas. It's all positive. I don't care what comes or goes. It's still positive for a believer. Christians don't even die. We just go to sleep. Don't go to sleep yet, not tonight, but we just go to sleep when we die. Glory. Now tell, I could say something. God's got it all closed up with the Holy Spirit, so it's between me and God, see. He don't know nothing about it until you speak it. And I'll do a certain thing. Watch the devil cut off every wheel he can to get there, see, to beat me to it. But if I can get the, watch this now, if I can get the revelation, from where? God. Not me. Not Brother Donnie. Not anybody else. All true revelation comes from God. I can tell you facts and I can give you understanding. Revelation comes from Almighty God. But if I can get the revelation from God and just don't say nothing about it, then that's different. See, because Satan cannot extract revelation out of my heart or your heart. Remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He will try to impersonate everything the church will do. He's tried to do it. We notice it through the Antichrist, but this is one thing he cannot impersonate. Talking about the third pool. There'll be no mimics to this, see, cause he don't know. There's no way for him to know it. See, it's the third pool. He just knows nothing about it. See, he doesn't understand it. The third pool is so sacred. And God won't permit Satan to know nothing about it, but you'll know something about it. Amen. And you'll know what it's all about. But God has to seal it up inside of you to protect you and to protect it. Oh, it's just a beautiful picture. Now, so that's why God has a special meeting place, and that's inside of you. And it's all sealed up. It's kind of like the box car. Brother Man talks about the seal on the box car. The inspector, it has to be inspector approved. And I think the inspector's been coming by recently and seeing around the people leaving the message and kind of inspecting some of these message box cars. And you see it is not loaded right. Maybe they're top heavy. Maybe they've got the wrong load in there. Maybe it's too loose somewhere. He's not going to seal the car until the load is properly on there. Then he and the inspector seals the car. And he's not going to seal it until he's satisfied that it's all right. So apparently he's not satisfied with some of these people. It's not right. So he didn't seal the car. May I just say it this way? And the reason on some of this he can't seal the car, because the car's never been ordained to be sealed. I mean, that's just the way it is. We hate to see it that way, but we hate to say it, but that's the truth. This message is not for everybody. But we see why the people are leaving the message today is because they're not ordained to see it, and they just don't understand it because they're not born of the Word of God. They don't have a word birth. You've got to even born again to be able to understand the kingdom. Notice what he says here. To whom shall we go? Paragraph 43. Nicodemus asked the question, how can I be born again? I'm an old man, entered to my mother's womb the second time. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now the translation there is really understand the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is within you, so you can't actually see it unless you see it operating. Operating. What do we just read over there in St. John 14:20? Ye shall know. And that means to understand or perceive. And it means to be manifested by your conduct. Brother, I'm saying the same thing there. The only way you're able to understand it, but the only way you'll ever be able to understand it, you've got to be born again. To be born again, you've got to be filled with God's Spirit. Then you're in Christ. And when you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit that wrote the Bible, that manifests Christ, is in you to recognize His own self. Amen. That's why you must come to Him. So listen, friend, the rapture is so sacred. It's the most important and the most secret event in the whole Bible. Even nobody knew it but Jesus Himself when He would come. What a great secret. What a great event. Jesus didn't know even when He was here the day nor the hour. He never spoke about it in the seventh seal of Matthew 24, as we just said. And all these different wonderful things. Now in the seventh seal, again, paragraph 557, then we're going to get to some other things here. He says in seventh seal, paragraph 557, now let's prove it. Why, it's a secret that no one knows about. John was forbidden to write about it, even as a symbol about it. Why? This is why there was no activity in heaven. It might give away the secret. Do you see it now? It's such a tremendous thing. It had to be. Don't even write it, John. It might give something away. And it's so great it must be included because it's got to happen. But when the seven thunders, and it goes on to say, the seven thunders in a row uttered, making them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Then heaven couldn't write it. Heaven can't know nothing about it. Nothing else because there's nothing to go on. It's relaxing time. It's so great till it's kept secret from the angels. Now why? If Satan could get a hold of it, he might do great damage. And the rapture, the body change, and all of these things that are coming very, very shortly, God don't want the devil to know nothing about it. He wants to protect it and He wants to protect you. Because remember, the first pull, impersonations. The second pull, impersonations. He said, you remember the we won't go through the tent vision, that part of it, knowing cast his line, and then he said, you're a preacher, you can teach them how to fish, and then he throwed his line out, and you know the techniques, and he jerked it in, and got his lines tangled up, and said, don't get your lines tangled up in these kind of times, and the angel behind him said, I told you not to do that. He said, oh, I'm sorry. He started crying like that. He said, you can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. All it does is causes carnal impersonations. You explain it to everybody. You're always trying to explain it because you love the people. And I said, don't do that. You're not going to do it on this third. You won't explain this third. That's one thing you won't know. He'll know, but he won't explain it. Amen. He said, if Satan get a hold of you, he might do great damage. There's one thing he don't know. Now he can interpret anything he wants to. And impersonate any kind of a gift. I hope you're learning, but he can't know this. It's not even written in the Word. It's a total secret. The angels, everything shut up. If they made one move, it might give something away. So they shut up, harping, everything stopped. Now, let's just try to understand just a little bit as we go. I want to look into something about on the road to Emmaus. Like I said, in the tabernacle in the wilderness, the inner court, the outer court, the inner court, and the holiest of holies, and Aaron, he's supposed to take the blood in there, and he said, I'll meet you in there. Moses would go up on Mount Sinai, he said, I'll meet you in there. He had to get away from all the rebellious people down where he was at. He said, you go up there, I'll meet you in there. And Noah, he told Noah, build the ark. He said, I'll meet you in there. All the many, many scriptures we can go through, he said, I'll meet you in there. So it's so important, even the holiest of holies, the inner sanctum, but behind that veil, that secret chamber, he told the high priest, he said, once a year you go in behind that veil, I'll meet you in there. Then one day, I'll become Jesus, of course God speaking through Moses, then I'll become that holiest of holies. Then one day you'll become that holiest of holies. And then one day you'll live in that holiest of holies. One day you'll live in that new city, the holiest of holies, and God will take a tithe out of this earth to live in that new city. Aren't you glad you're part of the elected? Now, let's look at this, the woman at the well, just for a minute, because this is one of the most important scriptures in the Bible, because this is a transition. We find here in John 4:20, the woman said, and you know the story, but we won't go through that, but the woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And what is actually happening now, Jesus was announcing to the woman at the well that the place of worship is fixing to change. He said, our fathers worship this mountain, our fathers worship this mountain, you say in Jerusalem, in the place of where men ought to worship. Now this was a transition time. And Jesus said unto her, verse 21, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither worship this mountain nor at Jerusalem, but worship the Father." And then we find out in verse 23, he said, "The hour is coming and now is the true worship will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Now, before you had to go into Jerusalem, and Brother Donnie talked about that, God's chosen place of worship, and this is a transition, this is where Jesus is saying, that is good up until this time, but from this day forward, the hour has come, and now is. He that worships Him must worship in spirit and in truth. This is a transition. In other words, Jesus is trying to tell him, the one that you came up to Jerusalem worship is standing right before you right now. And then she said, that's why he was trying to say, I'll meet you in there. Oh, it's just a beautiful thing. Pilate was standing before Jesus when he was interrogating him, so to speak. And he asked the question, what is truth? He's whining and you say, who is truth? Truth was standing right before him. You know, in Luke 24:49, Jesus said to about 500, he said, go you up in the city of Jerusalem and tarry. And he said, if you'll do that, I'll meet you in there. Out of that 500, there's only 120 made it. What happened to the others?
That's it. Yeah.
He said, I'll meet you in there because you got to get into that upper room. You got to get separated from unbelief. God has a place on the inside that He wants to meet people. There's a place on the inside He wants to meet. It's not for the world. Before Jesus was crucified, that pillar of fire, he met the high priest, I said, behind the veil. But when the veil was rent, as I said, that mercy seat became into plain view, but they could not see it. But he's trying to show, look, I'm even going to give you an opportunity to see it. The mercy seat's now in plain view. But they still was too blind to see it. But Christ hanging on the cross, he says, I'll meet you in there. Now, let's look at this. God's word, of course, we know it calls from total separation from unbelief. Now, here's one I really like. I like all of them, but I particularly like this one. On the road to Emmaus, you know the story, Cleopas and his friend, and they were all sad, and they was all disappointed, and so forth and so on. And they were walking up, and now I don't know exactly how it worked, but maybe we'll dramatize it like this. So they were going there, Cleopas and his friend, and they talked about it, said, now, you know, they told us about these things, and we know that the prophets talked about, and the promise of the Messiah, and he told us, he said that the Son of Man must be, go up to Jerusalem, he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to have to suffer, and he's going to have to be crucified, and they walk on a long journey, and in fact, they went about 6 miles, so I got to walk through the office, because that was a long journey. So they walk about 6 miles, and they're going all the way up to Emmaus, And they're talking about the different things and all the different things that it happened. And they were all sad. And I hope you can hear me out there. It was all sad. And then after all that happens, then Jesus comes out. Now, this is after Jesus' resurrection. Now, they're walking up there and they're talking about they're all disappointed and sad. And Jesus walks out of the bushes behind them. And they're all sad. And now here comes Jesus out. This is after his resurrection. He said, now, son, now I heard y'all, all this conversation. What's all this conversation y'all are talking about out there? He said, I heard y'all talking about, you know, before the resurrection and all this. And what's all this you talk about? You think that was the proper way Jesus come out after his resurrection? No. Somehow that just don't make no sense to me. Now I got to thinking about that. Here Jesus raised from the dead. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. They're on their way up to Emmaus and they're talking all sad. And Jesus walks out and said, now, all these, what's this communication between y'all and why are you so sad? And they said, art thou a stranger in Israel, and you know what things? And he says, what things? But Jesus walked out, and being a man about 18 or 20 years old, they didn't recognize him. Jesus walked out. Now remember, he's the first fruits of the race. You say, was he a young man again? Yes, he was turned back to a young man again. Because you said, well, did he have gray hair? No, gray hair is a sign of death, the sign of old age. He didn't walk out there with gray hair. He walked out as a young man in the prime of youth. Maybe that's one reason they didn't recognize him. Maybe he didn't have a long beard. Maybe he didn't have much beard at all at 20 years old. I don't know, but I know that the Bible says that their eyes was holding from him. But I can tell you this, Jesus was not an old man when he come out of there. Somehow they said, well, he's not a man over 50 years old. But he was only 30. So in 3 days, from 50 to 20, he lost 30 years in 3 days. So he comes out of there and says, what things are you talking about? And so they go all the way up to it. Now remember, Jesus is a young man. He's the first fruits of the resurrection. He can't come out there with a long beard and gray and stoop short and so forth, and then we're going to be just like him. He's to turn back young again. So they're going on to Emmaus, and then something beautiful happens at Emmaus. God withheld his identity, perhaps because he was young, or perhaps God just permitted it to be that way. I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter. But finally, they arrived at the end of the house there, and Jesus invited them in. In fact, Jesus really was walking all this time hoping that they would invite him in. Of course, he knew that he would. But he says, you know, if they'll invite me in, we've got to get away from all of them devils and everything outside. Get inside. I'm going to do something special for you. So they invite him inside, and they go into the inn. And Brother Bram said this 3 or 4 times. Now, what did he do inside? Now, remember now, his identity is withheld from them. So they go, after they went inside, and they shut the door, something miraculous happened. In the resurrection, paragraph 30, he says, so they sat down. Now watch closely. And when they all got all seated, Jesus picked up the bread and done something with it the way he did when he was with them before the crucifixion. He did it in the way that he used to do it. And when he did something in the way that he used to do it, they said, no one else could do it but him. That's him. That's our Lord. Do you see? Paragraph 31. And they said, it's him. He truly has risen from the dead. Oh my. They've been all day walking on the road. But they were just a few minutes getting back to Jerusalem. Boy, they really hot-footed it, didn't they? They said, yes, he's alive. We've seen him. We know that he is alive. Amen. He said, how do you know? He said, he done the same thing that he did when he was alive. We know it's him. Only he can do it. That's all. No one else can do it but him. And we see the way he did it. And the way that he did it, when you remember when he was down there eating the time and the way he took that bread and how and what happened when he broke those loaves that day and fed the thousands? He said, yes. Oh, that's the same thing he did then. And that's the way I knew it was him. I know that the way he did it, he did it the same way. What did he do? I always wondered when they went in there and said they knew in the way he broke bread to do it. This way, this way, this way. Which way did he do it? It wasn't the way he broke the bread, but it was that he multiplied the bread, just like he did before his crucifixion. That's why he was known by the way that he broke the bread, because he multiplied the bread. Oh, it's just like, you know, all these wonderful symbols in the Bible. When the women went to on the first day of the week, and they went to the sepulcher there, and the stone was rolled away, and the Bible talks about, and his grave clothes was laid over there, and the napkin was folded. Why does the Bible say that the napkin was folded? Because it was a Jewish custom that when a father of a household, if he threw the napkin down on the floor, unfolded, that mean that he was going to stay. He wasn't finished yet. But when he folded the napkin, he said, I will return. If he folded the napkin, he said, I will return. So he folded the napkin, showing everybody, I'm going to return again. I've got to come back. I'm going to return, even a sign. He left signs everywhere. Oh, but you just got to be spiritual to see it. Aren't you? Thank God for a prophet. Oh, I'm just so glad about that. I'm just so glad he sent us a message. I just don't know what to do. Well, I do know what to do. I'm going to serve him. Look at Abraham. They know a little something about a hiding place, a secret place. They knew a little something about God's meeting place. Thank God for that revelation. Abel, by revelation, he knew God's meeting place. It was blood. Job, by revelation, he knew God's meeting place. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I got to hurry. Abraham, of course, by revelation, knew God's meeting place. So he purchased the cave of Machpelah where he wanted to be buried. And Isaac knew it. And Jacob knew it. And Joseph knew it. Because God, by revelation, knew that God had a chosen place of resurrection. God chose a place where it was going to be a resurrection. In Redeemer, paragraph E38, now it was written, but they were spiritual. They read between the lines. They said, take me back up to Canaan, bury me up there with my father Abraham and Isaac. Now, what's Joseph when he died? He said, don't you bury my bones down here, but someday God's going to visit you, a divine appointment. So you take my bones before you and bury them with your father. The same place where Job was buried, the same place where Sarah and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Rebekah and Leah and all was buried up there in their promised land. I wonder why. I wonder why. Here it is. God hadn't promised a resurrection down there in Egypt, but they knew that the resurrection was going to be in the promised land in Palestine. Had to be in Palestine. God's chosen place of a resurrection. And that's the only place He would meet Him back there, was in Palestine. And those prophets knew it. Don't bury my bones down here in Egypt. I'll never come up down here. Had to be Palestine. And those that were buried up there with Him, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the saints come out of the grave. They know the resurrection was going to take place in Palestine because it was spiritually revealed to them. I'm showing you why it's so important to have the Holy Ghost. It's so important to be sealed in. It's so important because that's the only place God's going to meet you. It's the only place God will meet you. That's the only place God will meet you. That's the only thing God's going to raise up is His Word, and we must become that Word. It's got to be God's chosen place of worship. It's a divine appointment. There's no other place He'll meet, and God has declared and testified through this prophet of the end time. All other places is dead. Why are they dead? Brother, that said, God let them die. Yes, sir. Much could be said about that. That's the reason I say tonight, I say you can have all the world you want and all your fancy fandangos and all education things you want, but bury me in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ. For those that are in Christ, God will bring with Him at the first resurrection. So just let the Holy Spirit reveal that to you. Redeemed by His blood. Those that are in Christ. It's always in Christ. Inside, inside, inside. In Christ. God bring them at His coming. What a difference does it make? The world wants to call you fanatic, whatever, but just stay in Christ. Now, find a place to taper this off here, and I want to just read a little bit out of the tent vision, because I know everybody's going to say, well, I'll meet you in there. You got to bring that in. Now, faith, what is faith? Faith is a revelation. Revelation of the will of God personally revealed to you. And when you get that revelation, you may not can explain it, but you know you got it. Many things we can't explain, we know we got it. Now, the devil, he can't get into your heart if you're sealed in. And he cannot extract revelation from you. If you speak it, then he can hear it. But he can't get it if you don't want him to get it. Brother Bunn said many times faith is unconscious. Now just watch. And being led of the Holy Spirit, talking about the tent vision, and you know the story, but we just want to rehearse just this little bit. He said, and then just, I want you to watch this and listen close now, so you have to watch the difference. And I heard something whipping around, whir, 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 like it always goes on every time. Goes every time we have a healing service. That's just what happens. That's the way it always has sounded. That way in the bush, that time when I heard it, it's always been that way and I felt it. I heard it going, moving. And I looked and here it went, a real soft light moving away from me and went down into that little building. And then there's something different between the light and the angel because he was still here with me. And the light had went into the building and this angel still speaking behind me, which is a big man. He said, I'll meet you in there. And so then I said, I don't understand why in there. Now catch this. And watch, he's always scriptural. He said, did not our Lord say when thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites that like to make a show. Remember the first pull? He explained it. It was a public show. It's the second pull, the gift in the hand of discernment. They had many mimickers out there. They could do it, hit sometimes, miss sometimes. His never failed. But as we know, the prophet God said, Satan can impersonate any gifts he got out there. But he can't be the Word. So he said, be not like the hypocrites that make a show. Said, enter into the secret closet. Now he's tying this in with this tent vision now. Enter thou into this secret closet. He said, I don't understand why in there. He said, enter into the secret closet, and when you have done so, close the door. What did they do on the road to Emmaus? They went into the inn and they closed the door. To close out all the unbelief out there. And then that's when God showed himself miraculously, and when they closed the door. You go into your secret closet and you close the door. Then pray to the Father what seeth in secret, and he has seen in secret, he rewards you openly. Remember now, this third pull, this won't be a public show. And he said, well, you remember that name that you were hunting that time that you dreamed about? And I said, yes. He said, I'll meet you in there. And this time, it won't be a public show. In other words, it will be a total secret. A total secret. A total secret. It won't be a public show. Satan knows nothing about it, because if he knew anything about that, and he ties the third pull and the seventh seal together, if he knows anything about the coming Lord, he don't know nothing about it. And he don't want, and he ain't going to let him know nothing about it. And even this third pull is so secret, I must not tell anybody, because the same thing applies there. If Satan can get a hold of it, he can do great damage. So he won't know nothing about it. That's why God, all the way through from the very beginning all the way down to now, he said, I'll meet you in there. So Satan won't know nothing about it. Then in what is vision, he goes on to say, and I seen them bringing a lady, and that's talking about the little room there, and I seen them bring a lady upon a stretcher. And there was a lady taking her name and things. There was a lady on the outside taking names and so forth on a paper. And so there was someone come and got her and pushed her through. And the next man came through with crutches. And I see them go through that little building. And then on the outside, the lady come out screaming to the top of her voice, pushing the stretcher. Let me back up a minute, because I want to bring something out. Let me back up to the verse. And I seen them bringing a lady upon a stretcher. And there was a lady taking her name and things and on a paper. And so there was someone come and got her and pushed her through. So there was a lady on the stretcher. And somebody come and got that lady and pushed her through. Now she come on the outside healed. What happened to the man that was pushing her through? Don't say nothing about him. And the next man came through with crutches, and I seen them go through the little building, and on the outside the lady come out screaming to the top of her voice, pushing this stretcher. And then there was another lady on the other side, looked like a kind of dark haired woman, and said, what happened? And she said, I just don't know. Listen, I want you to hang on. I just don't know. I just don't know. And she said, I couldn't tell you what happened. And she said, I've been paralyzed for 20 years, and look, I feel like I never was sick. And then come out the man leaping and jumping with his crutches and everything. And then I looked and said, but the woman that was taking names on the outside, she said, what happened in there? I don't know. I don't know. And maybe it happened like this. I don't know how it happened. But maybe it happened like this. By the way, this cane they gave me, this is a gag gift when I was in Africa the last time. And so I asked the brother that gave me, I said, now when am I supposed to use this thing? He said, don't worry, it'll come automatic. And it's not a good idea to carry a cane on an airplane, because I had the cane and I had my briefcase and I had a clock that I was bringing back for Brother Donnie, and I had a bunch of stuff that I was carrying off, and I had it under my arm like this. And I got to the flight attendant, the stewardess there late, and she said, sir, can I get you a wheelchair? So here's the scenario. Perhaps it happened something like this. And so we have this man going into the little room in this tent vision. And so he's going in on crutches. And he's probably saying to himself, now, Lord, he's going to the little room. He said, now, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do in there, because the prophet just told me. And he's got crutches. And he's in bad shape. See, I don't know what you're going to do, Lord, but, you know, maybe it's just like the prophet of God, you know, down in Memphis, you know, and I hope y'all can hear me outside, but maybe it's just like down in Memphis. He said, he just told him to just keep on walking. He said, where are you going? I don't know. Just keep on walking. Then all of a sudden, probably something happened like this. He went And all of a sudden he just jumped up and he just come out the other side like that. And everything, and she's taking names. He said, oh, he come out, he's healed. He's changed. And the woman is taking names. She said, what happened in there? He said, I don't know. All I know, I used to be sick and now I'm healed. What happened here? I don't know. There must have been somebody in there. I don't know who was in there, but there must have been somebody in there. Because all I know, I was on crutches and now I'm made well. In other words, I was changed. You know, I think Abraham and Sarah must have had a little room experience one time. You know, right before they went down to Greer, there was an old man and an old woman. And Abraham probably looked at Sarah one morning and said, Sarah said, I noticed the wrinkles and the crow's foot are going out of your eyes. And I know your gray hair has changed to, it's nice and black again. And, oh, I didn't look. Where's my looking glass? It's, oh, yes, it sure is a different. And Abraham, Sarah, what happened? She said, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. And Sarah says, Abraham said, honey, you know, all that gray beard is turned black. What happened? Abraham said, I don't know what happened, but something's happened. Hallelujah. All I know is I've been changed. I can't explain it. All I know is I've been changed. Amen. I want to ask you a question. When you got the Holy Ghost, you explain to me what happened. When you got the word birth, when you really got the Holy Ghost, tell me what happened. Tell me what happened. Explain to me what happened when you got the Holy Ghost. I can't explain what happened, but I know I got it. I can't even tell you the day I got it, but I know that I got it. I can't tell you all about it, but I know that I got it because my desires and my life and my whole focus and my whole attitude and my everything about me, my life is Christ, my focus is Christ, my desires is Christ. I used to like to go to drag races and car races and football games and all the stuff I used to do as a sinner. I don't care about nothing anymore. I said, Daddy, I used to do some hot rod when I was in high school. I said, Daddy, I want to go to the drag racing on Sunday. He said, you need to go to church. I said, I don't care about church. I want to go to the drag race. Finally, he let me go. Boy, I was in hog heaven, they say, with my hot rod drag racing there at the Fifth Nationals in Gainesville. You know, when I was about 22, 23 years old, I got saved. Then when I was about 35 years ago, we got introduced to the message. And ever since then, my life has been changed. I can't explain to you what happened. I don't know what happened. All I know is my wife came into the message first and she was listening to tapes and I was trying to fight it and I was happy in the denominational church and she kept saying, well, honey, you need to, God's done something and the church are getting so worldly. And I said, well, they're all getting worldly and everything. Well, won't you listen to a tape? I don't have time to listen to tape. I'm satisfied in denomination. Well, won't you listen? Finally, after about 6 months, I said, I'll listen to a tape. Just shut this woman up. I'll listen to a tape. So on a Sunday afternoon, we sat down and listened to Life Story together. And I think I've told you the story before. So we listened to Life Story and I cried through most of it, as most people do. It was all over. There was just a little bit of silence, a little pause. And she said, well, what do you think? I said, have you got any more? Have you got any more? Brother, that did it. I can't explain to you what happened on that Sunday afternoon, but I heard that voice, and that was the right voice, and that was a man's voice that's trying to tell me about God's voice. Behind that sign, there was a voice, and I heard that voice, and I can't explain to you what happened, but since then, it's got greater, and greater, and greater, and greater, and one day we'll go through. You say, Brother Terry, are you trying to explain to the tent vision? No, I'm not trying to explain to you the tent vision. I don't know. All I can tell you is I'll meet you in there. That's all I can tell you. I'll meet you in there. You decide where in there is, but I got my opinion. I'll meet you in there. But all that are in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But that's all right because we got a promise to come out of there. He said, I'll meet you in there. Just like he told the Hebrew children, I'll meet you in there. He didn't tell them, but he met them in there. But God's given us a promise. He said, I'll meet you in there. That no matter what you go through, I'm going to meet you in there. Behind the holies of holies because you're going to become the holy of holies. And you're going to live in the holies of holies. Let's stand. God bless you, saints. What a meeting place God has. I'll meet you in there. I'm Brother Bev said, it's so sacred, I mustn't say much about it. As they told him in the beginning, say nothing of it. He said, it speaks for itself. He says, and look away to Jesus, he's, I've tried to explain the others and I made a mistake. This is, look away to Jesus, paragraph 43. I made a mistake. This will be the thing, to my opinion. I don't say the Lord tells me this, but this will be the thing that will start the rapture in faith for the going away. Say, well, explain it to me, Brother Terry. I can't. Neither could he. Well, he could, because he promised God he wouldn't tell the secret. Because God did reveal to him, not the day that the Lord was come, but the secret about this third pull and so forth and so on. But he said, in fact, I'll read it to you. He makes this statement. He said, and being led of the Spirit, he said, but then it'll be no end to the prayer line for a go hours, talking about the little room. Watch what our Lord's fixing to do. Now the thing that happens in there when he told it. Now remember, the Bible's laying open. I did it first, my hand over my heart. A human being in this world, talking about the secret of the third pull, the human being in this world will never know it. I made a show out of the other, but God being my helper, the reason I waited till this night, and the first time I've told it public, I waited till this night to tell it, God being my helper, there'll never be a human being that'll know this till death sets me free to go home to be with God. I'll never make a show or a public thing of this. It's too sacred for it to be given out the way I did the other time. He said, I'll take this secret to my death. But that's okay, because God will give that secret to every individual person. You don't have to worry about getting it from the prophet, because God gives the revelation. God gives the secret. God gives the secret to him. He'll give it to you at the appropriated time, at the designated time. Remember, God gives supreme grace at the supreme hour. You don't have to worry about when. You don't have to worry about how. You don't have to worry about if. He said, I'll meet you in there. It'll be there. Like the old brother, I think it was Mo or somebody said, if God told you to jump through that wall and there ain't no hole in there, he said, what would you do? He said, I'd jump through that wall. He said, but there ain't no hole. He said, well, when I get there, the hole will be there. So it don't matter. He said, when I get there, the hole will be there. God will provide himself a place.
Amen.
Brother Harry, sing us a song. And then we may try to sing a new one. Can you sing tonight? You can't sing? Well, we're going to sing then. You might be sorry. We're going to learn a new song, Brother Louis. We're going to learn a new song tonight. It's called God is Good All the Time. Now, it's not the same verse. It's a different one. It's a little peppy, so we're going to try it. If I blow it, well, I just blow it. Then you should have sang. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. All the time. Sing the chorus one more time now. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. If you're walking through the valley and there's a shadow all around, do not fear, He will guide you, He will keep you safe and sound, cause He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. Everybody sing the chorus now. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. It's now. His light will shine. God is good. God is good. Now we've got that started, maybe we need to go up just a little bit higher. Okay? Now you gonna help me sing? Let's do the chorus again. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time. Now let's sing the first verse. If you're walking through the valley, and there shadows all around, oh, do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. Cause He promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. With a song of praise of mine. God is good. Yes, God is good all the time. Listen to Him sing the second verse. We were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us He chose to die. Filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we teach and testify that His love is everlasting. And His mercies, they will never end. God is singing now all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. All the time. That's why I love Him. That's why I serve Him. That's why I pass from the death and life. I'm glad He loved me first so I could love Him. I picked up, you know, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth. I'm going to let you go. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I even looked that up this afternoon. Ye shall know. It's the same word we just talked about, to know. Know means to perceive and to understand. And the Jewish people looked at that. Not only do you supreme, but said your life will manifest. If you really know, your life manifests that. It's an attribute that's outworking. And the same thing is, use the same word, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you know the truth, if you know the truth and it's manifest in your life, you don't have any option but to be free. It doesn't say ye shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. It says ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. If I know anything about the English version, make means make. He will make you free. Let me read this Persian proverb to you. Thank God that He has let us see the truth. I ran across this and I thought it was so good. Let's put that Persian proverb up. I think you'll like this. Right down at the end. You get it. It's there. Okay. Well, I'm going to start it because they'll get it up. It says, he who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He who knows not and knows not that he knows not is a fool. Shun him. He that knows not and knows that he knows not is a child. Teach him. He who knows and knows not that he knows is asleep. Wake him. But this is us. He who knows and knows he knows is wise. Follow him. He who knows and knows that he knows is wise. Father, sound like a vindicated prophet to me. He knew who he was. And we know who we are. Because when you recognize who you are, then the rapture is going to go. God knew who he was. Jesus knew who he was. Brother Brown knew who he was. Now you know who you are. And then we're all going to leave this old celestial world. Amen. He who, then Brother Brown said, you got to know that you know that you know that you know. He's wise. Follow that man. Glory. Aren't you happy to be in church? Let's sing it one more time. God is good all the time. You believe that? I believe that. Amen. We'll sing that. You can be dismissed while we're singing it. Harry won't sing for me, but so you just have to put up with me. God bless you. Shake hands as you're dismissed. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. Yes, God is good all the time. You put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In my darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. If you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear. He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. Because he promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And his word is true. God is good. God is good all the time.
Glory, God is good all the
time. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. Put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. In the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. God is good. My God is good. God is good. My God is good all the time. Yes, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good.